Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Spectrum Cannabis. Today's show is going to be hosted by Lance and me, producer Sam, because Calandra has some super pressing issue to take care of. You know, she's an attorney.
Yes.
And she's off there doing some work that is saving someone's life, I imagine.
Probably not a conference this time. We would have known.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome. Thanks. Lance, I'll hand it over to you to introduce everybody.
Hi, everybody. Hey. Welcome. This is pretty cool because this is the first time that we have gone off site.
Yeah, this is our first time with this show, isn't
it? It's like a little vacation.
It is.
You know, like vacation from the studio. When we go back, we might be in a new studio. There's like some fun things that are going on.
Yep.
But more fun than that is we're at Canna Joy MN.
Canna Joy MN. I mean, this would make a fantastic studio. I love this space.
It sounds nice.
How long have you been in here?
We're just short of a year. So we've got 2 weeks, I think, and that'll be our full year on September 23rd.
So near when this is coming out, then you will have to have congratulated or congratulations belated.
Right.
Something like that? Does that make sense? So anyways, Bob and Aaron, the proprietors here, the seed masters, so, and
Bob and Aaron, are you a couple?
We are.
I thought so. I mean, I don't ask a lot of questions.
Have you married some people before? Because it just almost sounded as if you're like, now you are pronounced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have
marriage.
They're like, yeah, we are.
I assumed so, but assumptions have gotten me into trouble with
that. They usually do, right?
I had to ask. Yep.
We get to be work wives and partners in life, so that's
Yeah, so you're at each other's throats all the time with the...
No,
I'm just
that's
kidding.
That's the whole point. We got to do it together.
I know.
It's amazing.
You seem to get along very well.
I know. And in the comments, how many people do you think actually have it that way? What do you think that the number is? I doubt it's a 50-50, right? Like, get along at work, it's probably more like 20%, 20-80.
Work and live together, you mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
Right?
How long have you been together?
Oh gosh, since we got married in 2011.
Okay.
And then we'd been together for almost 8-10 years before that.
Oh.
So we've known each other for quite a while.
They're pretty chill.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Well, you run a cannabis shop here in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Does that make you chill? I mean, is that like a requisite of being in the cannabis industry?
It's kind of like a duck. You're cool on the surface, and then underneath you're like... getting all the other things done, and
I was wondering where we were going with the duck. Yeah. I like that analogy.
Yeah,
I think the cannabis industry is pretty good at being ducks.
Yep.
You know, like we're like everything's good, and then
everything's fine.
Go and do our 10,000 things that we do every day.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I get it. I get where you went with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, because my entry into the cannabis world was conceiving of and producing this show, right?
Oh.
Yeah,
and I don't know much about it, but I know I had met Lance and Calandra, and I thought, I really want to learn more about the cannabis industry, and I want to tear down some of my own stigmas that I've got around it. So what better way to do it than to kind of educate people through, you know, a show they can listen to?
Yeah.
But are there big time jerks out in the cannabis world too, or is everyone pretty nice? Because so far,
big time jerks.
You know, are there,
that's one of my favorites. Big time jerks.
Yeah. Because most everybody I've met is like pretty cooperative and decent and friendly. Like,
yeah.
We like to focus on joy. That's our plan. So if people in the industry are bringing us joy and bringing the community joy, then we usually are probably going to be able to work well together and collab. So joy is at the heart of everything that we do.
I don't think it answered the question, are there big jerks?
There for sure is,
as there is in every industry, I think. But I think that we do our best to... We try to walk with them, but sometimes we have to walk around them in order to keep our joy.
Okay.
Exactly.
Is what I would say.
Politely said.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that I hear more about weird behavior and you know, kind of jerks in the industry than I actually see. I really, I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, we're looking for joy and it's kind of like a minivan. You buy a minivan and all you see is minivans. Yep. I don't know. Yeah. You have a good day and all you're seeing is everyone else's good day. And
yeah.
So much can really happen in that space, you know, where conversations like these can, you know, really shape people's perspectives. And so, yeah, you know, there's, like you're saying earlier, there's an energy and a back and forth between folks. And, you know, when hopefully we're bringing the joy, oftentimes it does others.
Yeah, we were talking about
we don't catch it as much as I hear about it. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about the abundance thing and how you have to manifest these things. So you're maybe can of joy, you're manifesting joyous relationships through who you two are, right?
It's literally our mission.
Yeah.
It really is. When we think about who we are as a company, joy is where we try to center ourselves. You know, like you were saying, we work together, we live together. And when we started on this business that was really central and focused, and we wanted to center everything that we do kind of around that, joy has such a way of changing your perspective in a moment in a day, right? It can happen so fast. You can be having a rough day and you take a walk through the garden. You know, your attitude changes and then your response to situations change and maybe your heart softens a little bit and okay, I can find some grace for someone else. But maybe they can find some grace for me.
Yep.
And it all starts with that moment of turning your perspective and focusing even for just a moment in a day on something you find joy. And for us, that was just, kind of where we wanted to focus.
Yeah.
Because like it really can have such an impact.
It does. I think it has a great impact. And that's why when I come in here and I see you guys and, you know, I'm excited when I walk through the door because I know what I'm likely being greeted with on the other side of the door is excitement as well. So we have a good time together. So Can of Joy, right? It's in the name, right? Kind of told a little bit of this story, right? You're like, it's kind of in the middle. Was that on purpose? How did you come up with the name?
Well, our first business together was because of our art. I do painting and Bob does woodworking. And so we had Creative Joy as our art business a few years before jumping into Can of Joy. And Bob ended up having some health scare that I think brought us to a point of like, we'd been talking about doing something like this for years. We'd been thinking about it and, you know, doing some of those like visualizations and planning. And then that point was like, you know what, let's do this. Because if we're 80, this is going to be something we're going to regret if we don't do
it. It's always the stuff you didn't do.
Yes.
Like on their deathbed, that's what people always say. Oh, I should have done this or I wish I had done that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They say you have two lives, the first one when you realize you only have one and then you start living that one. And it was really big for both of us. And so jumping into, you know, the Can of Joy piece and, you know, it was like a January of 23 and we had three, you know, family members in our basement and we're like, we're going to start a business, you know, and they're like, what in the hell is happening?
Nope. Start a business or a different business.
Another business.
Right. Because you had already. So what was the first one?
Creative Joy.
Creative Joy.
And that was really for our artwork, right?
Yeah.
And I love wood turning and Aaron's paintings are amazing. And
is this your artwork in here?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. We do have some other artists from around the state. We do like to support Minnesota creators, knowing with the pandemic, so many different galleries closed, you know, coffee shops, that those places for people to have that
to
space ended up being a lot less. And knowing that we are creatives, that was something that we wanted to incorporate into what we're doing here. And like what you were saying, you were kind of just wanting to be more curious in the cannabis space.
And I still am. Yes, very much so.
This is something that we really intentionally did of like being able to have a soft landing for cannabis. If you know very little about it, you will be welcome here and we can talk about it. If you know a lot about cannabis, great. Let's talk about that as well. But meeting people where they're at on their weed and seed journey is really important to us and a non-judgmental, inclusive place.
Well, I really, really appreciate that because one of the things that kind of kept me away from it, I mean, I've got three kids, so So I've got this concern of like, what am I teaching them, right? But I'm not afraid to have a hams or whatever, sure. Right? You know, like I'm not afraid to drink a beer in front of them, but I, the pot, like that's still stigmatized in some way, right?
We feel weird about it. And I had this.
Do you still understand that?
I had the same thing with my kids and I still do now. I mean, I've had the conversations with them and I told them I'd rather have them drink an infused beverage than to drink an alcoholic beverage, but here to support however I can support. If they're going to do what they're going to do anyways, let's, you know, meet them where they're at and see if we can just, you know, continue to be the guardrails if they'll allow us to.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing in my basement, right? You know, before it was legal.
No.
It's like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I had somebody else do it. But it wasn't even in my basement. But I had been in the legacy market years and years and years ago, so I knew what it looked like. I knew what it looked like to get in trouble with what it was that was in my vehicle or on my person or whatever it ended up being. I never got in trouble with it, right?
The lives that have been, you know, upended by it.
Right.
Yes.
So all of that still holds on for somebody that, you know, so folks like us that continue to advocate for the plant, right? And have always advocated for the plant. Like it's hard to shed that skin, that armor in a sense of like how we had to defend ourselves in a sense and what could be taken and what was taken from a lot of people and continues to be, you know, big challenges.
I've been learning a lot more about the history of, you know, kind of just marijuana in general. But also in America and when it got criminalized and stigmatized and all the rest of it and how, like, that's gonna take some time to undo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been, that's been around a long time. And as we've said before, like, there's no part of me that wants to advocate. If you can get through life, this sounds bad. If you can get through life without doing anything, great. You know, like without any mind altering chemicals, whether that's THC or alcohol or anything else. But the fact of the matter is a lot of people are going to find their way to something. And it seems like cannabis, if you take away all the crap that's been, it's been buried under for so long, you get to cannabis and like, oh, that's less harmful than this other thing that's always out there, always available, you know?
Yeah. Kind plants, right? Like I've talked about kind drugs before. And we need to call it a kind drug because that's just how we understand it. But mushrooms are kind drugs. They tell you when you've had too much. Cannabis tells you when you've had too much, right? Like, cocaine doesn't tell you when you've had too much. Cocaine's like, what's up?
Let's go. Still a plant,
right? And then crack cocaine. Holy crap! Like you know, there's so. But then you look at kava, and kava's, you know, is kava a drug? Is kratom a drug? Yeah, I think kratom's maybe not as kind, right? Because there's a lot of people that I know that need a lot of kratom to get through the day.
I don't even know what that is.
Right, so it's still just more plants, you know?
I mean,
more plants and things that they do, but one way that I was explained, and we'll have to have somebody on that, we will have somebody on that knows more, like we'll do like a whole kratom thing, probably,
sure, yeah,
right?
That'd be great.
And kratom, the way that it was explained to me when somebody brought it into the shop that I was running before, it was like, all right, cool, so this is kratom. And I'm like, cool, what is that like? And they're like, well, it's like, you know, two really strong cups of coffee without the crash. And I'm like, oh, interesting. So I drink it. And I was like, whoa. For like 2 hours, I'm sitting here thinking I'm getting so much work done on my computer. I'm like dialed in, right? Like every key press, I know everything that's going on. Like the earth isn't even moving. Time has stopped. This is the best in the world. I didn't crash, but when I got done with the whole thing, I didn't get much work done.
So well, you weren't as productive as
I wasn't as productive as I thought that it was. I'm not saying that people, but my brain was telling me I was on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the best. And then I got done and I was like, my brain was tired because of how much activity, right? And, you know, same thing with a lot of different things. Like, you have something for that first time in your body and that experience and how you're reacting. It's just like, just happened. And then I feel like my eyelids wouldn't shut to normal for
so it broke
good,
you.
Oh my gosh. It was something. But kava is kind. Mm-hmm. Actually a reverse tolerance where the more that you ingest of it over time, the less that you actually need to ingest. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a frequency versus
quantity. Either. I wonder if coca plant, like if you were closer to its natural state, if it wouldn't be less harmful for you.
Well, for
like
sure.
Like chewing the leaves or whatever.
It's the process part of it that, sure. that makes it challenging.
Seems like crack cocaine is about as far away from the plant version of it as it can get.
Yeah.
It is, but yeah,
when
for
we
sure.
get to meet people coming through our doors, I think getting to hear their stories, right? There was a mm-hmm. woman who came in and she's, I'm 40 years old. I didn't try any THC until a year ago. Yeah. And now she's like, and I had so much judgment towards people.
Yeah, right.
I was like, what are they doing? And she's like, what? Here I was this whole time and now I have, you know, a THC drink while I make dinner or I sleep better. And another woman was like, well, in my 30s, you know, my 20s, I did it for entertainment and like fun. In my 30s, I did it for pain. In my 40s, I'm doing it for sleep.
Yeah.
And so even people's idea of what it can do for them shifts. And then there's still other ways that the plant can meet them where they're at. And that part is amazing too.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole education piece around all of this too. Like, I know we kind of harp on this on the show, but I think it's important. Mm-hmm. Like we talk about it a lot, but you know, there's, I guess the complexity with THC versus the simplicity with alcohol, like alcohol does one thing and you know, it gets you a little drunk is what I'm saying. It has sort of one effect. Mm-hmm. And if you have a small amount, maybe that's better. If you have too much, you get into trouble. There's a range of how that effect will take hold on you. Yeah. Whereas THC, it's like, wait a minute, it's not just, there's a lot of people who don't use it to get high at right. all. They use it to sleep or they use mm-hmm. it to alleviate pain or whatever. So
dream better.
Or dream better, yeah.
And that's why the Minnesota better. Market is so great, because you can have separate cannabinoid edible options and drink options where I only want CBG, I only want CBD. So you don't necessarily even have to start with mixing them. It can be
I'm starting to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'm starting to learn that the ones that are more higher test THC are not the ones that I like so much if they've got the other CBG or CBN mm-hmm. or whatever, then there's a thing I might like about it. Like, I'm starting to learn.
Sam's getting some acronyms
now. I'm getting some learning, Sam. I have a question about the hanging of art.
Yeah.
So you said that a lot of coffee shops closed and whatnot. Is it rude to ask artists for art to hang in a commercial space if you own a business?
Well, what we do is a consignment.
Can you do that in the right way, you know?
Yeah, we do a consignment option for people. So if they have their pieces here and it does sell, like then they're going to get the majority of that amount.
Oh, for sure.
And so I think that's important of being able to let that space be for them. But then people can enjoy it when they come in, or there might be new artwork to check out while they get, you know, their edibles. So it's kind of like always growing and breathing, a living breathing space.
I have artist friends. I have friends who are artists, right? And they're sitting on so much work, and it sits in a space. They've made it, and it doesn't get to go out and bring joy into the world. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a little commercial studio space, and I want to hang art all over the place.
Yeah.
But I can't afford the art, you know, but I want to put a tag on it that says, yes, you can buy this. Mm-hmm. Please do. And support this local artist. But I feel like, am I being rude by asking them for their art to hang in that space?
No, if someone asked to have some of my art in another space for, like, that would be an honor. I would
feel really,
that would be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Okay.
So Yeah.
Well, that opens
Don't
the door.
Don't be scared of that. Yeah.
Okay.
And for all
now
the artists,
Sam's comfortable with asking for people's art, too.
And to put a note out there for all the artists in the world, like for all the pieces in the basement that you haven't shown anybody or you've enjoyed yourself to make, like, share it.
Oh, my
put
God.
Put it out there.
I know.
Do it.
I started a website called Art Liberator.
That's amazing.
And I wanted to talk. Well, yeah. I mean, it sits there and does nothing because I've talked to artists about this. I would like to find, if there's a wealthy benefactor out there in the world, right? I'd like to find someone who will give me, let's say, $20,000, right? Just to put numbers on things. And I go to an artist and I say, I want to buy 90% of the artwork that you're sitting on in your basement that is not seeing the light of day for a specific number. Let's say that's $5,000, right? And would you give me 90% of your art for $5,000? And then we take it and we put it on the website and we don't value it in any way. It's just the thing. We take we take however many pieces they gave and divide it by whatever. We need to get the $5,000 back is all I'm saying, right? So we sell it for, if you give me 100 pieces, we sell it for $50 each.
That's amazing.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway. Because that's joy and creativity,
and being able to elevate other people's creative space and genius as well. I think that's fabulous.
Was it confusing?
No.
I don't know if I explained it right.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty more that's to that, right? But the other thing that I see out of that is if 90% of the pile of art that brought joy at some point in time to the person that produced said pieces of art, now do they create more?
Well, that's the reason for giving them the little stipend for getting it out, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it might be helping that part of it. I think that it's helping it be in the world.
That's what I see. The reason it's Art Liberator is I think you poor piece of art. Someone spent their time and effort to make you.
Yeah.
And then they're so concerned that they keep you covered and keep you safe so you don't, but you're still like hidden away and you need to be out in the world so that you can bring joy to people because that's what it was for.
Yes.
And that's a big jump off a cliff moment for artists, right? Here's my heart and soul out for the public
to see. That's why it hasn't gone anywhere is because artists don't like to give up. No. They like to store their art forever.
All of this art was in our basement.
We get in our own way. All the time.
The artists do?
As artists, we get in our own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a big piece of that is sharing it with other people. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, there's more that comes from that, right?
I think so.
Because then other people share it with other people.
That's
right. And before you even know it, you're two or three generations on the passing of that that thought or knowledge or whatever you created down the road, and it's far larger than you think, right?
Yeah.
And often we're concerned we're going to get negative feedback.
Is that what it is?
Rarely, at least for me it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And rarely is that the case.
No.
Rarely is it the case. We make it up in our own heads. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes just jump off that cliff. It's only a foot down.
Yeah.
But it looks like, I don't know, I'm not looking over the edge. It's too scary.
Well.
Yeah. But I get exactly what you mean.
I'm looking for someone to partner with me on this because I think there's the business side of it, but there's also just the, like, I feel bad for the actual piece of art. Like, a lot of things had to happen for you to exist. Like, the rays of sun had to hit the earth to grow the cotton, to make the canvas, to get stretched around the wood that had to grow, and the things that made the paint and all the rest of it. And then you sit in a basement for your entire life after all of that,
like, just waiting on a flood to destroy it all.
Kinda. All right, well, that's art on the cannabis show.
Yeah,
but
that's the best feel part like about they it. Go really well.
Yeah,
together.
Cannabis
they
do. Art, they really all do. The umbrella of cannabis is very wide, and to your point too of that idea of like when someone does put their art into the world and that ripple effect. If someone sees that art and then that inspires them to maybe make a painting or do some other research of a different artist that they've always, like, you don't know where that can go from somebody else seeing your work. And so don't deny others their own creativity by seeing yours.
I mean, it all fits in there. And I don't think it devalues the art in any way to have it be out. Like, I know some artists think, you know, well, maybe someday this will have more value. I don't know if that's really something they're thinking, but maybe. Some of the better known artists, you know, they're going to sit on their art hoping that someone maybe buys it or something. But like, if it's just sitting there, it's just sitting there. Let's get it out in the world.
It should.
So, I mean, and the thing that made me think of it is you've got a really, really nice shop here. I can see the elements of you having been a woodworker. I can see the elements of art that are in it. This feels like a safe place to come and explore what cannabis is and what it's all about. Do you get people coming in who are very, very new to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There might be someone that comes in and asks questions about THC or CBD for 15, 20 minutes, and then they leave, and then 2 weeks later, they're like, okay, I want this.
I've done my research.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is something you're mostly putting into your body, unless it's a topical, but that's a big deal for people. So I always appreciate when someone's doing that research and figuring out how they want to try it. And, you know, and I let people know, like, if you eat something beforehand or you talk about those things, it'll take about an hour or so to kick in. So right. Make sure you're not at a half hour taking another one thinking it didn't work. And, you know, walking through some of those pieces so that it gives them the best opportunity to have a positive experience with the plant.
And on terms of home growers, we get a lot of new home growers.
Oh, you do?
We absolutely do.
So you get people who are turning to growing their own, and they come here for
seeds and genetics?
Seeds and genetics? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been a home grower for a while. Yep. And for me, it was always a challenge to find genetics. Really good genetics, mm-hmm. Or even understanding what really good genetics meant, right. Or have an understanding of what those genetics are going to produce. And is that actually what I want? Can I talk this out with someone? That was never an option, you know, a year ago, at least here in Minnesota. And so, and even nationally, there was only a few choices and options when we started looking at this last year. And we were like, there's really no model for this. Well, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. It just, you know, it was find something that we're passionate about, that there's a problem of, that we try to solve. And coming out of that was, oh man, let's open a seed bank. This is literally my candy shop. And yeah, so for newer home growers to be able to come in and say, this is what I'm looking for, or at least what's in my head that I thought I want. And then we have some time to chalk it out a little bit, really explore what their space is, what their skills are, what their expectations are, and try and match those all. And it's really different for everyone. There is certainly, you know, some categories, but it really becomes unique to everyone. And that's really why we have such a wide variety of strains, almost 300 strains now.
'Cause 300 strains that you can buy in this store?
That's right. Come on in and pick one out and we'll talk about them. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's sort of documentation around what each strain does and why it's different. No kidding.
And we're also seed labelers in Minnesota, so we test seeds that come in and then are able to label them so everything is compliant with the law.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and this is all above board now. This is all legal and people
can
do that. What are the laws around what a person can grow on their own at home?
Ooh, so Minnesota has 8 plants in total for home growers right now. Okay. No more than 4 of those can be in flower. So if you wanted to have 7 plants in veg and 1 flowering, you could do that. Okay. If you wanted to have 4 in flower, 4 in veg, you could do that.
What's veg? What does that
so
mean?
So vegetative state is the first state that comes when the plant starts.
It's a
great
question.
It's the plant really has a first half and a second half, and that first half is the vegetative state where it's growing leaves, it's growing stems, it's getting, you know, branching to occur. And if it's an autoflower, it'll change on its own into flowering based on time, or if it's a photoperiod, you're going to have to either change that light schedule indoors, or in early mid-August, it'll change outdoors naturally.
Okay.
Once those dark levels get high enough for the plant to change hormonally.
Okay.
So this is indoor grow, right?
Most
of the time we're talking about an indoor grow in this scenario. If it was outdoor, then the earth is going to take care of it for you.
Right. So can you artificially keep it in the veg state indoors for?
You can.
Okay.
For years.
You can just like you can grow a plant that's not, it's not matured. You've kept it artificially young in a certain way.
Right.
Okay.
We've prevented the hormones from in the plant from building up to cause it to flower. Okay. And we do that through light. So light in and of itself in the plant is going to burn off the hormones that cause it to flower, the buds that we really love and try and find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you do keep that in longer time periods of light and shorter dark periods, the plant will stay in that vegetative state, which is really awesome. If you enjoy that particular result from a plant, you can keep that plant going for a very long time, as long as it's healthy.
Yeah.
Called a mother plant, and you can take more cuttings and clones off of that plant to create more little plants that are really exact genetic copies of what you saw before. You know, you can't do that with an autoflower. Well, you can take a cutting, but it's still only going to live that 90 days, 100 days, somewhere in that neighborhood. But
and an autoflower just means that it, no matter what, after a certain period of time, it's going to do this thing.
That's right. It's going to change regardless of the light levels. You know, it really comes from the very far north. Latitudes are maybe far south in some ways as well. But like in Alaska, where you're getting 18, 20 hours a day of sunlight or up to a full day of sunlight, it's not getting to that under 12 or under 13 hours that it would need for a photo period. And so from evolution, the plant has selected itself over time to say, oh, I don't actually need that up here in this environment.
I can't have that up here in this environment
because it's not, simply
the sun doesn't
won't
set.
Work.
Yeah, I've been up there.
Simply won't work.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it makes a lot of sense that photo periods from an evolutionary standpoint started kind of in the middle of the planet and moved north. And as selection happened, those strains that were able to flower in less and less light, eventually less and less dark, eventually not even needing any dark, that's where autoflowers really come from. And that trait, right? And so that's a genetic trait. That's not a different plant. It's much like brown eyes or beard color you know, all of those same components. And this is where
they have a common ancestry.
That's right.
But they have different traits based on just like anything else.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm learning.
Yep.
Well, and again, it's my candy shop. Like, I am endlessly fascinated by the genetics of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that comes out as we start to see scale now across the country. 10,000 plant pheno hunts. One out of 10,000, something cool happens. Multiple farms, many, many farms in California and the West Coast and now East Coast as well. Even throughout like states like Tennessee and others, many, many of those. And now you start to see one in 100,000, one in several million. And those kind of oddities and interesting expressions of the genetics are going to become more and more common as they're
because
found.
Because we're growing and monitoring the life of more and more plants on a larger scale.
Yep.
So you'll end up seeing some new variant come out, right? That we haven't noticed in the past or just like anything else. Like, huh.
And that's, to me, is the coolest thing about cannabis. Every time you plant a seed, it might be a particular strain and you're going to get a general set, but every seed that you roll is just a little bit unique from the next one.
Sure.
And
then
you know,
every home grower is different too. And so you have those variables at play with every grow too.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I have so many questions about this.
I know. The industry itself. That's what's so fantastic about, you know, Sam was like, so Calandra's not going to be here today. Should I hop on? I'm like, hell yeah, you should hop on. Right? Because the questions that Sam is going to have are so
I'm like a
different.
Newbie. I'm like a completely
different
newbie.
And that's what we want when we're sitting down with folks like this is to take that opportunity and talk about some of the like nerdy, like let's get into the weeds a little bit kind of stuff, but then also, Well, so wait, what? Autoflower versus photo. What is, people always say that and I never know what they meant, you know? That's what we're here for. We're just here, well, and to have some fun too.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, when I think of it, like, I think of smoking pot as a different thing now than the consuming of these edibles.
Sure.
Like, and, you know, when I was younger, I'm one of those, when I was in college people, but like where is it at? Where is the state? It feels to me like the beverages and the edibles are going to be much more of a mass market thing than the growing of and consuming of pot by smoking. But I don't know for sure. I have no idea where that breaks out.
I think Minnesota is one of the more interesting markets in the country. For the very reason that we've had legal hemp products here now for a couple of years prior to opening adult use. Yeah. You know, in many other states when they initially started, it was very heavy flower that people would smoke and very light products that people would consume. And so I think from what I'm seeing in other states, that's really reversed, where flower is actually less than half and products are really coming up. And I think what was interesting
here in Minnesota,
no, just around the country in markets that open to our adult use.
Yeah.
And so what I found really interesting is that it's not so much that flower has decreased as a category in terms of volume. It's that the other categories of edibles and particularly beverages has really increased and broadened the market in a substantial way. So I do think that consumers are finding what they prefer. And I think as you go to a larger and larger market, non-traditional cannabis consumers that now come into it looking for a product are able to find something that might meet their needs in a different way.
Yeah,
right? I mean, they're coming at it without the baggage of the last 50 years or 70 years,
right?
So like, oh, what's that thing over there about cannabis? Something, yeah, give me what you got.
Yeah.
And that's a different, likely a different set of product mix.
Yeah. If someone's at a party and, you know, half the people are drinking a beer and you happen to grab a THC drink, it doesn't, you don't look like, oh, who's that? What are they drinking? Like, it, you can just kind of like
look,
be...
they all look the same these days.
Yeah, so it kind of fits in, and that's where that entry point where, like, if even the dry January was really big for people.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw that market of like, well, let me try THC over alcohol and see how that goes. If people come in for sleep first, or they come in for pet CBD, and then they're like, oh, maybe I'll try some CBD too.
You mean they have this for those, humans?
Yeah, they do. It's amazing. So I
Daryl think, the dog says his arthritis seems to be a whole lot better.
I wonder if it might work for me.
My dog has never been happier.
I just love that the dog's name is Daryl.
And for so many people, they kind of come to it for themselves, but then they're like, oh man, my dog has got some anxiety. I can really, can this help them? And it often does.
Oh, for sure.
And that's, I think where it starts to broaden people's mind a little bit, and they might even recommend it to their mom or to their dad or uncles.
Or their mom might recommend it to them.
That's right. That's
my
right.
Case. Yeah. My mom's like, here, try some of these.
Right.
And she grew up in an era, I mean, where, you know, she's in this, she was coming of age in the late 60s and 70s. So she was certainly aware of it, but she tried pot a couple of times. Was like, I don't like that. That's not for me. Even though she was a hippie, right? But now she's like, oh, I love this stuff, but it's the edibles. Let me put it this way to both of you, all three of you, since you're a product maker as well,
yes,
Lance.
Fair.
If I go to a party and there's, you know, and I don't go to parties anymore because I'm almost 50. Like, I can't
But
let's say I go to a party.
We go to bonfires or garages.
Sure.
That's what happens when you get to our age.
You've got to have food or there's no snacks. Good chance I'm not coming.
If my kids came to anything I think of as a party, they'd be like, that's not a party, dude. That's four dudes sitting in chairs talking about life or whatever. Anyway.
Exactly.
But if I go somewhere, an event of any sort, and there's someone, like the smokers, we'll just say the smokers are are on the outs these days, right? So if I'm there and you're smoking tobacco, which is legal, they want you to stand 100 feet away from the door around the corner and you have to kind of hide, which is fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally fine with that. If you're a vapor and you're doing that in front of everybody, people are like, please don't do that, you know, generally speaking, right?
Generally.
If in order for me to ingest the alcohol, I had to smoke the alcohol, it would be, I would assume, stigmatizing too. So mm-hmm. I think the fact that you can now package it in something that does not feel like I don't belong, I would suspect that the beverage side of things is going to be, it's opening it to up to a far, far, far larger market mm-hmm. because there are people who are just not going to do it if it's in flower form and they have to smoke it. It makes them feel right. weird to even think about smoking
yep.
anything, let alone mm-hmm. a drug, mm-hmm. you know?
Those folks will still grow, though, when they figure out that they can make their own butter with mm-hmm.
so they can make their own products.
The fruit of that plant, the flower of that plant
can now...
Right. So
now what's that?
And how much you get from one plant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll run through it quick. If you do
cost-wise?
A tiny autoflower and you get yourself 2 ounces.
Right.
And let's say it has a low THC at 10%. Just make the math easier.
Sure.
Maybe it could double, maybe it could triple. But, you know, 0.2 ounce, it's about 5 grams,
mm-hmm.
5,000 milligrams, and you're recovering a big chunk of that, plus your other cannabinoids and terpenes that'll come along with that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think when folks start to think about what can I do with what I just produced in my garden, it's actually quite a lot.
A ton.
It really is. You know, we're talking about products in Minnesota that have 5 milligrams.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, a 2 ounce autoflower plant in your backyard that a 2 ounce is about 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's a lot of milligrams you're pulling out of that to use for all kinds of things throughout the course of the year.
Okay. Not to keep on this topic.
Sure. Excuse me,
but if there's one thing that seems to be true about American consumers, but probably consumers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Easier is wins all the time.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Every
for
single
sure,
day,
sure,
yeah. always, mm-hmm. easier is better.
Wins.
Right?
Sure.
Because even knowing that you can grow nice things in a garden doesn't mean that I'm not buying tomato sauce.
That's
like,
right.
In a can.
Sure.
You know? And all the rest of the stuff that they sell at the store, because that all represents easier, mm-hmm. even though I love my fresh garden vegetables and stuff.
Right.
So
this is a new garden vegetable.
So if I get into it, just like any regular gardener, I know the tomatoes I grow in my garden are better than the tomatoes that I can buy at the store. And they, you know, whatever the cost is, I also get all the benefit of growing this thing and the enjoyment out of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be people who come into cannabis, into marijuana that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are so into it that like you meet those people and you appreciate those people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The general mass consumer is going to want a can.
For sure.
They are.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
They are going to be like, I don't, okay, cool. I can grow a bazillion milligrams of it, but you'll sell me those, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or they get one of those while they wait for their plants to grow.
Yes. There you go.
That's a win-win too.
Yep.
It's the fastest growing, slowest ass growing plant ever. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
from seed to even a decent middle harvest with an autoflower is 5 months.
Okay.
Till you're consuming it in a smokable form, maybe 4 months if you make an oil or an edible out of it. And so it does still take a while. Convenience is going to win.
Convenience wins, yeah.
That's right. There's still a grocery store with lots of tomatoes in it, even though there's farmers markets with way more heirlooms and people who are still growing in their own garden and consuming those. I don't think it's going to be any different for cannabis. I think all of those choices will be available. And honestly, I hope Minnesota really keeps all of those choices mm-hmm. available and embraces all of them, just like we do with every other agricultural product here in Minnesota.
Right.
Yep.
We do a really good job with some things,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we just need to keep doing those.
Yeah. We've often said that growing cannabis is the gateway to gardening. And it usually just makes you want to grow tomatoes with your plant. Or, I think knowing when you were growing that you knew where it came from, what's in it, how it was made, the start to finish, that was a big deal. And then you do that process, you're like, well, I can do lettuce, I can do tomatoes, I can do strawberries, let's try a hydro strawberry.
Right.
So those components. And then for other people to have that experience this summer, growing outside for the first time or throwing their autos out, and then they're just like, oh my gosh, someone's like, I just got four big mason jars like filled from my autos outside.
And
they're going to be lifelong growers. They're starting the next harvest. And we've met so many people that grow but don't smoke. They just love the process of growing the plant.
And you even said it's
like the plant heals you twice. It heals you growing it, and then it heals you smoking it. And so there's so much of learning in that process that I think brings people coming back. And if it might be another year before we see, you know, being able to do the adult rec here, it's just more invitation to say, well, grow now and you can keep having your own harvest until that time.
Exactly. I like that. Let's let's take a break, huh?
Yeah, sure. We can take a little mid-show break.
No, perfect.
Good.
We'll be back.